Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Chof Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked off Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top of Daf Chof Zayin. At the side, you notice a nosei, a topic heading, under which we've written Ein Lemeidim Min HaKlolos. Rabbi Yochanan will teach us in this Gemara that even though at times you see Mishnayos that teach a general rule, a klal is a rule or a general rule, one cannot rely on that for all the facts, or not rely on it for knowing how to operate, or not to assume that the general rule is accurate and Meduyok, as they say. The Gemara will give examples of that, and with that we turn to the Gemara itself. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Lemeidin Min HaKlolos Ve'afilu B'mokom Shinemar Boi Chutz. One is not to learn from Mishnayos that teach a rule, even where in the rule it might say everything applies here and here and here, except for over here. The idea of except for would seemingly indicate that the rule is very precise. In other words, something was stated as applying under circumstances X and Y, and not under circumstance Z. And that's what we mean, except for, or as the Gemara terms it, chutz. If one encounters that, Rabbi Yochanan says, even though it sounds accurate and to be taken literally at face value, don't make assumptions. We will see more about this as we go along in the Gemara. The Gemara, however, points out, midekoomar afilu b'mokom shenamar b'chutz, from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said, even in a place that the term chutz appears, Michlal delav ochokoy. It must be that Rabbi Yochanan was not making his comment on our Mishnah. In fact, in our Mishnah, a rule is stated with the term chutz in it. It said, "Bechol ma'arvin mishtatfin." You can use all food items except for water and salt. So you see, the term chutz appears. However, Rabbi Yochanan, when he said what he just did, he said, don't learn from rules, even in a place. So apparently he wasn't making his statement coming off of our Mishnah. Because in fact, in our Mishnah, we do see chutz. So the Gemara asks, heichokoi, what was the source that prompted Rabbi Yochanan to make his comment? Now, It will then have to be a source in which you don't see chutz in it, because Rabbi Yochanan's statement, once again, was you don't learn from rules even in a place where it says chutz. But his basic comment is you don't learn from Mishnayos that present rules. And his comment is going on a type of Mishnah. He was coming off of a Mishnah that did not have the word chutz in it. So the Gemara answers, and you'll have to note that it's a long answer, and we have a tough encircled to indicate teretz, a long answer, as you can see. So the Gemara answers, Hosom Koi. Rabbi Yochanan is made his statement coming off of the Mishnah in Maseches Kiddushin, which says as follows. The Mishnah has two parts, and we've noted Aleph and Beis indicating the two parts. Kol mitzvos aseh shehazman groma, anoshim chayovim v'noshim pturos. All mitzvos that are time-bound, or time-caused, time-related mitzvos, mitzvos that are performed as a result of a particular time or date. those kind of mitzvahs, men, males are obligated, women are exempt. V'shaloi hazman groma, those kind of mitzvahs that are not time-oriented. Echod noshim ve'echod anoshim chayovim, whether male or female, they are all obligated. So that's a rule. And now we ask rhetorically, uklolahu, is it really a rule to chol mitzvah saseh? And you'll notice that we use a diamond here to highlight the two different categories of mitzvos. We have here kol mitzvah saseh shazman groma, and a couple lines later you see kol mitzvah saseh shelo azman groma. So we're asking, is it a rule that all time-bound mitzvahs kol mitzvah saseh shazman groma noshim pturos, that women are in fact exempt? Haray, and here we see three mitzvahs: matzah, simcha, v'hakel. Matzah is self-explanatory. Simcha is holiday related. Hakel is a mitzvah that happens every 7 years, where the nation of Israel is brought together to the Beis HaMikdash. The mitzvah saseh shazman groma, those are all time bound mitzvahs. V'noshim chayovos, and we find that women are obligated in those mitzvahs. Well, what about the rule? And likewise, v'chol mitzvah saseh shelo hazman groma noshim chayovos, is that so as well, that all non-time-bound mitzvos women are obligated to fulfill? Hare Talmud Torah Perivaribya Upidyon Aben, three examples of mitzvos: the study of Torah, the mitzvah of procreation, and the mitzvah of redeeming one's firstborn son. The mitzvah saseh shelo hazman groma, those are not time-bound, they're not calendar-bound mitzvos or hour-of-the-day-bound mitzvos. V'noshim pturos, and yet women are exempt. As far as the sources for these details, so Rashi points out the sources, and they are found, of course, in Maseches Kiddushin. But this is not the preoccupation of our sukkahs, how we are going on. Ela Omar Rabbi Yochanan, so as a result of the exceptions we just saw, Rabbi Yochanan comes to the conclusion, Ein lemeidin min haklolos, one is not to learn from Mishnayos that present rules, even in a place where it says except for, where there's, like we saw in our Mishnah, you can use all food items except for water and salt. Later in the Gemara, we are going to see why that is in fact not a solid rule. The Gemara continues with a point. We see here a long point, and you'll notice also the expression "af anan amitnina." We highlighted that with a triangle, indicating that a Tanaic source also supports that which we are saying. So, and each one of these themselves represents a long point, and we've marked thusly on the side of the Gemara. The Nun represents a nekuda, a point. The Gemara, Omar Abaye, v'itema Rebbe Yirmiyos. Abaye in some versions have Rebbe Yirmiyos telling us, af ana nami tanina. We, in fact, have this taught in Mishnayos. Oid klal achar omru. Another rule has been said, kol sheniso al gabi hazov tomei. That which is supported on top of a zav. A zav is a type of individual, a male that had a certain kind of emission that makes him tomei. What about his ability to affect other things? So the rule says anything that's carried on top of a zav, tomei. V'chol shazav nisa olav, anything on that a zav finds himself on top of, tohor. Chutz min haroi lemishkav umoishav v'ha'adam. Now here, once again, you have a rule. We dashed underlined the word chutz, and we are going to demonstrate that which Rabbi Yochanan said, that even though you have the word chutz, which says that that these are exceptions, this is not the last word. In other words, the list of exceptions that are mentioned here is not final. V'su leka. Now, we glossed over some words here, Mishkav, Moshav, and Odom. So these are different elements that when Azav is, in fact, on top of them, they will become Tomei. Mishkav is something that he would recline on, like a bed. Moshav, something he would sit on, like a chair. And it's pointed out in Rashi and elsewhere that these are things that are designed for sitting and leaning, v'ha'adam, and a person. So that even though that which a zav is on top of does not become tomei in the fullest sense of the word, nevertheless, there are examples of things that the zav will become, that will cause to become tomei and become an av hatuma, and they are, even though he is on top of them, and they are mishkav, moshav, and odom. So regarding this rule, with its exception, the sulek, are there no other exceptions? Vo'iko merkav. There's another element called merkav, and the Gemara will analyze this a bit. Hai merkav hechidomi. What is a merkav? Now the word merkav has to do with rochav, is riding on something. So what is meant by that? Idi yosiv ole, if it's something he is sitting on. In other words, you can imagine a coach with a bench or a chair, a seat in the coach, and he's sitting on that. So if it is that, hainu moshav, that's already included in the list of exceptions. So what do you mean by saying, well, isn't there also the merkav? So the Gemara explains, anan hochi kwamrinon. So we explain, ho'iko gabo di'uchbo. Is there not the top of a saddle? It's in fact the horn of a saddle. Desanya, the source says, ho'ukov tomei moshav, va'tofus tomei merkav. Now there are very technical differences in halach of what these things affect. There's a merkav and a moshav, but suffice it to say that the saddle itself absorbs tumas moshav, and the tofus, the horn of the saddle, becomes tomei merkav. Now, so this is an example of something that it's not on top of the zav. In effect, the zav is over it in a sense. It's the horn of the saddle, and the merkav, it also becomes tomei. Ela shma mina. So we see from here, ein lemeida mina klolos v'afilu b'mokom shnemar bo chutz. Even when the rule seems to have its exceptions, the list is not to be taken at face value or literally or limited to that. There are other things. So that Rabbi Yochanan's rule is alive and well. Omar Ravino vitemo Rav Nachmon af anan nami tmino. And he has another source that will support Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, and in fact it is our Mishnah. B'chol ma'arvenu mishtatfin chutz min hamayim v'hamelach. You can use all food items for making an eruv or a sheet of muvos, except for water and salt. Now, if you took rules literally, you would say that every other kind of food item is suitable for making an eruv. And that's not true. V'su leka, are there not other exceptions? V'ha ika kemein upitrius, are there not these types of growths? Kemein and pitrios, ela shma mino, ein, that we have to add, that kemein and pitrios are also things that one cannot use for an eruv. Kemein and pitrios might be associated with certain types of fungus growths like mushrooms. So what do we see? One does not learn from rules, even in a rule that's stated like our Mishnah with the term chutz, with exceptions that one would have thought, therefore, that the rule is a very solid and detailed and well-defined rule. We see not so. We continue with another point mentioned in the Mishnah, Hakol Nikach Bekesef Meiser. We have a topic heading, Taruves Mayim Umelach, and we should point out that this is a topic heading with the Mivneh, with the structural note in highlighting the diamond. These are halachas that are taught in the context of taroves mayim umelach, the mixture of salt and water, called salt water. Le'inyan eruv, you can see in the Gemara, the diamond highlights chag masnia eruv. One teaches this rule in the context of eruv, our topic, and number two, le'inyan meiser sheni, regarding that which you are allowed or not allowed to buy with Meiser Sheni money, the money that you set aside for redeeming your original Meiser Sheni fruits, that money being brought to Yerushalayim and spent there for the buying of food, as we discussed in our previous shiur on the Mishnah. So now we turn to the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. These two Amoraim, Chad Masni Eruv, V'Chad Masni Meiser. One will express his teaching with regard to Eruv, and the other will express his teaching with regard to Meiser. And this will become self-explanatory. Chad Masni Eruv. One mentions his teaching with regard to Eruv, Lo Shonu Elamayim Bifnei Atzmo, Melech Bifnei Atzmo, De'ein Ma'arvin, the Mishnah that taught one does not use salt nor water for an Eruv, that is true only when they are by themselves. Avol B'mayim U'melech Ma'arvin, but if one has prepared salt water, he mixed water with salt, that can be used as the food substance for making the Eruv. The Chad Masni Meiser, and the other Amora taught his rule, taught this with regard to Meiser Sheni. Lo Shanu, the Mishnah that taught one is not allowed to buy with Meiser Sheni money, Elamayim Bifnei Asmu, Melech Bifnei Asmu, the Ein Nikhin. Those are the two things that one is not allowed to buy with his Meiser Sheni money. Avo Mayim Melech Nikhin Bekesef Meiser. But if there is prepared salt water, one can use his Meiser Sheni money, the money that he had redeemed his original Meiser Sheni fruits onto this money, and it has Meiser Sheni sanctity, and he's in Yerushalayim, and he comes across a vendor selling salt water. He can buy a bottle of salt water with his Meiser Sheni money, which he would not be allowed to do if it were Mayim pure water or pure salt. Man demasni a Meiser, kol shekena eruv, one who taught that you can buy salt water, mixed salt water, with Meiser Sheni money, he will say you certainly can prepare an Eruv with salt water. Uman demasnia Eruv, he who taught that you can use salt water for preparing an Eruv, avala Meiser lo, but Meiser Sheni money cannot be used for the purchase of salt water. My taima, why would he object to that? Answer, pira bo'inon. We require something that's classified as pira, as fruit. And Rashi says this concept will be derived later from a klal uprat approach to the psukim, from the way we will darshan psukim on Omid Beis. We continue in the Gemara. Ki also Rav Yitzchok Masni Ameiser. When Rav Yitzchok came, he taught this lo shanu rule regarding Meiser, which basically means that Rav Yitzchok came out saying that it's mutter to buy salt water with Meiser Sheni money. You can buy mixed salt water with Meiser Sheni money. Meisve. This raises a question. The question lasts a number of lines. Now, in this source, we're going to see a machlokis concerning something that you may or may not allow to buy with Meiser Sheni money. So there will be an argument over a certain item. However, the Gemara will point out they have an argument over that item, which we'll see in the source. However, everyone would agree that salt water you would not be allowed to buy. So the question then is, how can Rav Yitzchok come and say that you can buy salt water with Meiser Sheni money when we don't seem to have any Tanoim that would agree with that? The question now in the Gemara, Meisvei, Heyed Rav Yehuda ben Godish, Lifnei Rebbe Elazar. We need to bear in mind that the names featured in this source, you have Rav Yehuda ben Godish, and later Omar Lo, which represents Rebbe Elazar, these are names that will refer later on Omid Beis to what we see here. That having been said, we also have arrows on the side to help you find it easily later. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish testified lifnei Rabbi Elazar the following: Shel beis avo hoyu loichen tzir bekesef meiser. He says that in my father's house they used to buy fish brine, tzir is fish brine, with Meiser Sheni money. Omar Loi, Rabbi Lazar responded, Shema lo shamatela kishekirve dogimu rovin bohen. You heard that they purchased brine that might be only when there are fish entrails that are mixed into it. In other words, it's not just the brine, but it's fish entrails as well mixed in. V'afilu Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish lo ka'amar lo betzir. Even Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish, who was more lenient, he went so far as that he went that far to include even the brine without the fish entrails mixed in. However, we have to explain. Afilu Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish lo ka'amar lo betzir. Why? Dishuna de pirahi. The fish brine represents fats or oils from that which is piro. Piro being fruits, something that procreates, if you will, namely the fish. So there's some fattiness or oiliness coming from the actual fish themselves that are present in the brine. So it has a pira association, and as we said before, pira has to do with fruit, something that multiplies, something that is derived from a pasuk that we'll see later. Mir Tashem. Aval Mayimu Melach Lo, but even Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish wouldn't go so far as to allow the purchase of Mayim and Melach, the simple salt water that's not brine. Omar Rav Yosef. So we need to resolve Rav Yitzchok's teaching with regard to this source. So Rav Yosef explains, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Loi Nitzrocha Elo Shenosan L'Soychon Shemen. That which Rav Yitzchok said, you can buy salt water with Meiser Sheni money that is provided there is some oil mixed in. So the oil elevates the status, placing the salt water into the ball game, so to speak, as we said, vis-a-vis psukim that we have to see. Omar le Abaye v'tepuk le mishum shemen. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, if your explanation of Rav Yitzchok's halacha is based on the fact that oil is mixed in, so why not simply say that you're allowed to buy this liquid because of the oil that's in there? Why make any reference to the salt water? Lo yitzricha shenosan demei mayim umelach behavlo. Now this term behavlo literally means absorbed within. But it's a little more complicated than that. We take a look first at the Rashi, second line from the top. Behavlo, b'shvil hamayim v'amelach kona hashemen b'yoyker, v'yivliya boi d'meihen, v'chi haigavno shori Reb Yitzchok. What Reb Yitzchok was teaching was that you're allowed to buy this saltwater oil mixture and in effect pay for the oil, but pay more than you ordinarily would pay for oil. So you're buying the oil at a more expensive price. Why? Because Mayim and Melach are mixed in as well. And this is what the basis of our topic heading is on the side of the Gemara, where we've written Havlaa, Kona Bekesef Meiser Sheni Shemen. He used Meiser Sheni money to buy oil. Im Mayim Umelach Muravin Bo V'Shileim BeYoker, and he paid expensively Al Hashemen for the oil. And why did he pay more money for the oil? Because of the salt water that was mixed in. And Rabbi Yitzchok is basically telling us that one is allowed to do that. The Gemara asks, Ubhavlo Mishari, is that really allowed? Can you use Meiser Sheni money and to buy what we would say is a legitimate Meiser Sheni food item, but pay more for it because other things are mixed in? The more answers in Vihatanya, yes, and we have a source that supports this. So just to go over the point of Havlo again, you're buying you're expected to buy with your meiser sheni money. First of all, it's got to be something edible, food substance. But not only that, but what we are telling you here is you're going to be paying for food substance and getting along with the food something that's not exactly edible, but you're getting it along with the food, and because you're getting this extra thing, you're actually going to be paying more money. But the way we view it, it's not as if you're paying part of the money for the food and another part of the money for the non-edible part. Rather, all the money is being paid for the food, but you happen to be paying more because this non-edible portion comes along with it. So the Gemara brings this source to show, in fact, that it is allowed. And before we go on in reading the Gemara, let's just glance at the side where we have a pasuk cited. Dvarim, the pasuk is in the context of Meiser Sheni, the tithe that we mentioned, that what takes place on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the 7-year sabbatical cycle. It says in Dvarim Perik Yudalit Pasuk Chavav, Inosato HaKesef Hoshir Tav Inafshecha, the money that you set aside for the redemption of your Meiser Sheni produce, 10% of your produce, the money that you now bring to Shalayim, you spend it on everything, on anything you desire. And what is included in that? Baboker, uvatzon, that's beef and lamb, ubayayin, ubashechar, wine and shechar, ubacholasher tishalcho nafshecha. The form of this pasuk, as we will see later, there's a general, specific, and general. Klal pratu klal. As the pasuk opens up, b'chol asher tav nafshecha, buy anything you like, and then it specifies examples, and then it ends off, b'chol asher tish'alcho nafshecha. So let's see the Gemara, and we're dealing with the topic of havla, paying for legitimate meiser sheni foods, a little more extra money, and along with the food, you're getting something that's not exactly edible. The Ha'atanya. This is a support to the answer of yes, havla is allowed. Ben Bagla Gomer, Babokor. That's from the Pasuk. Melame Shalokin Bokor Agav Oro. This teaches us that you're allowed to buy beef, and along with the beef, you're getting the or is the skin or the leather. Uvatson, Melame Shalokin Son Agav Gizosa. This teaches us that when you buy the lamb, you're buying lamb together with its shearings. You can buy the lamb with its wool. Ubayayin, lamit shalokhin yayin, algav kan kana. When you use meiser sheni to buy wine, you can purchase the barrel along with the wine. Uvashechar, lamit shalokhin temed mishehichmitz. The word bashechar tells me that I can buy this beverage, which is called temed. Temed is after wine is made from the pressed grapes, you take the, called the grape residue, and pour water over it, and let it sit till it ferments, and you then have a beverage called temed. So, bashechor in the pasuk tells me that you can buy that as well with the meiser sheni money. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, man de metargim li babokor alivo de men bagbag. Anyone who could successfully explain to me why the pasuk had to use babokor, I'd have to mention that example, according to Ben Bagbag, Movilna Mone Abasre Lebei Masuta. I will carry his clothing after him, following him to the bathhouse. In other words, I will act in his service. I will be a servant to someone that could explain to me why the Torah had to say Bokor, according to Ben Bagbag. In simpler terms, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that this is unexplainable. The word babokor, according to Ben Bagbag, it does. There is no real need for it. My taimo. So, why is Rabbi Yochanan willing to be servile to the one that could explain babokor? See, the answer is, and you'll notice we have a very long answer marking because all of this section of Gemara serves the answer. So the Gemara points out why Rabbi Yochanan was willing to become servile to anyone who could successfully explain Baboker. According to Ben Bagmag, Kulu Tzrichi Lebar Mi Boker Mi Baboker Delot Tzorich. All of the words in the pasuk are necessary except for Baboker. In other words, whatever Baboker teaches me, I could have figured out on my own. Well, how does that operate? And that's what all of this Gemara goes to do. My tzrichi. So what do you mean by each example being necessary? Now the Gemara goes on to explain, and we have as our topic heading, we have a tat nosei, a subtopic heading on the side, Lefi ben Bagbag lomo koseves ha-tura bokor ba-posuk shel Ma'aser Sheni. Why does the Torah write about Bokor in the pasuk dealing with Ma'aser Sheni? Marking wise, you'll notice we squiggle underline the E Kosav as the Gemara unfolds, and each time it will tell me what I would have thought had I had one expression and not had the other expressions. But as we said before, in order to appreciate the answer, that namely that Bokor is simply extra and that It's without explanation, it's imperative to go through all of this Gemara. So now we start. What do we mean by tzrichi, that each example is necessary? Di kasa rachmona baboker, had the Torah said that you can buy with your meiser sheni money baboker havamino boker hu de mizdavin agav oro. I would have thought that fine, you can buy beef together with its leather. Mishum de gufei hu, the skin is part of it. It's part of the body, part of the animal itself. Avotsoina gav gizosa the lav gufei hu emolo, but the lamb together with its wool, the wool is not considered part of its body. And Rashi explains the difference is that skin, you can't skin an animal while it's alive; it'll die. Shearings of a lamb, of a sheep, you can shear it while it's alive. So I would have thought that since it's not so much a part of the animal as the leather, therefore you can't use Ma'aser Sheni money for purchasing it. After all, as we said before, Ma'aser Sheni has to item you buy with Ma'aser Sheni has to be classified as Pira. Pira, referring to that which procreates, which is, and so far, is the animal itself. So I would have thought that the Giza doesn't fall under that category. So therefore, the Torah had to write Son as well to tell me this point, that you could buy lamb together with its wool. The E Kosav Rachmona Bat Son, had the Torah written Son and not gone on with any of the other examples, I would have said, Al Gav Gizosa Hava. Again, let's read that again. Because of Rachmona Batzon, Al Gav Gizosa, that writing Tzon tells me I can buy it together with its wool. Hava Mino Mishum de Mechubor Ba. That's because the wool is attached to the meat. It's attached to the animal, and therefore it's considered a part of the animal. And once you're allowed to buy the lamb, you can buy its wool also. Aval yayin al gabi kan kano emolo. But wine together with the barrel, I wouldn't have known that you can buy the wine with the barrel as well. And you're using Ma'aser Sheni money to get, in addition to the wine, you're getting its barrel. So therefore the Torah had to write yayin. The E Kosav Rachmona by yayin, had the Torah written by yayin, Havi Amino Mishum the Hainu Nitiruse, I would have thought, okay, the barrel is included in the purchase and it's allowed because that's the only way wine can be Nitiruse, means it's guarding, it's preserved by being in the barrel. Aval Temed Mishehichmitz, however, buying this beverage, the fermented water that was mixed with the grape residue, to Kua Bialma Hu, Kua is acidity, it's mere acidity. It's as we pointed out before. This is a drink that's really made after the main wine has been squeezed and pressed from the grapes. We're talking about the grape residue that was mixed with water and set aside to ferment. So you might have thought that that's mere acidity that you're buying. Amolo, that's not allowed to be purchased with Maiser Sheni money. Therefore, Kosev Rachman HaShechor, the Torah had to write Shechor. So, and this scheme of things, the least obvious item will be the temed. So maybe it would have been enough to write Shechor and I could figure out everything else. So the Gemara goes on. The E Kosav Rachmona ba Shechor, had the Torah written that you can use Maiser Sheni money to buy Shechor, Have Amino, I would have thought my Shechor Vilakilis, the Pirahu, I would have thought that it's a reference to Dvela Kilis. Dvela are figs that are pressed figs, which is actual fruit. Avol yayin al gav kankanu emolo. But how, buying wine with its barrel, I wouldn't have known you can buy the barrel with the Maiser Sheni money along with the wine. Once again, Bashechar, had it the Torah written just Bashechar, I would have thought you can buy Dvei Lekilis. That's these pressed figs that are actually, Rashi points out that they are intoxicating. They create a certain, I imagine, certain type of lightheadedness when one eats them. In fact, the Rashi quotes the Gemara in Krisus that one that says that one who eats Dvei Kilis and goes into the Beis HaMikdash, where there is a prohibition to enter the Beis HaMikdash while intoxicated, he would be guilty of an offense. So that's fine that you can buy Maiser Sheni money. You can use Maiser Sheni money for the purchase of Dvei Kilis, as actual fruit, as the Pusuk demands. However, a barrel along with wine, I would have thought Amolo. The E Kosav Rachmono Yayin al Gav Kankano, had the Torah indicated through writing Yayin that in fact you're allowed to buy that. So the Hainu Netiruse, I understand that the barrel is included because that's the way wine is guarded, is preserved. Avotson al Gav Gizoso Amolo, but to buy lamb together with the fur, with the wool. An animal exists, can survive very well after it's shorn. It doesn't need the wool for its preservation. So I would have thought that that's not allowed to buy lamb, to buy the wool together with the meat. Therefore, because of Rachmonotzon, Dafilu Agav Gizosa. Therefore, it's telling me that you're allowed to buy the wool together with the meat. Even though the wool is seemingly so unnecessary, so to speak, vis-a-vis the meat. And yet you're allowed to buy it. Baboker lomali, what do I need boker for? And if we skip the bracketed section for a moment, the kevan because of Rachmona tzon, the afilu agav, he's also, once the Torah writes tzon, which entitles me to buy the wool together with it, so I would, on my own, I would understand, obviously you can buy beef together with the skin. Baboker lomali. The Gemara goes on. It seems, sounds a little repetitive, but it clarifies matters. Now you're telling me you can buy wool together with the meat. Do I need to be told that? Do I need to be told that you can buy the skin together with the beef? I don't need to be told it. It's obvious by teaching what we just demonstrated. Shechar and Yayin and Tzon, so I don't need to tell you Boker to inform me that you can buy the leather together with the meat. Oh, Hainu de Komer Rabbi Yochanan. There, with that, we understand that which Rabbi Yochanan said. Mande metagim liba Boker aliba de ben bagbag movilne mone lebe masuta. Anyone who could successfully explain the need for Baboker in the pasuk according to ben bagbag, I will carry his clothing to the bathhouse. I will be his servant. We have a bracketed section that we skipped, and it represents there is a havamina here, is a thought that is presented, but it is rejected. So now let's go back to the bracketed section and learn it on its own. As you can see, we have a bracket length indicator. The vertical dash dotted line indicates the length of the bracketed section. But what we did already was we skipped the bracketed section to show you how after once the Torah tells me tzon, to tell me you can buy the wool together with the lamb meat, I don't need to tell me baboker to tell me about buying the leather together with the beef. So now the bracketed section. After having raised the question that baboker seems to be superfluous, you might try to say Eloi kosav rachmono baboker. Had the Torah not written baboker, havamina, I would have thought that tzon, that the presence of the word tzon tells me algav ora in algav gizosalo, that when you buy lamb, you're allowed to buy the lamb with its skin, but not with its shearings. Therefore, kosav rachmona baboker lasuye oro. Therefore, the Torah wrote bokor with a purpose. Bokor tells me the heter of buying the leather, the skin. Iser late tzon lasuye gizasa, making tzon extraneous or superfluous for the purpose of telling you can buy even the wool. So maybe that's the reason that baboker was written. So let's go over the point again. Had baboker not been written, I would have had a havamina that tzon teaches me buying the skin with the meat, but nothing more. At this point, the Gemara rejects the Havamina. And in rejecting the Havamina, the Gemara has to say, would never have thought what you just suggested. And that's why we have the markings under the double underline to emphasize the Havamina and then the statement that I wouldn't have thought that. The Gemara continues. This is a Dichia. The Dalet on the side represents a rejection of the Havamina. Eloi kosav rachmona bokar, had the Torah not written bokar, namely it would have written just tzon, lo hava amina tzon agav ora in agav gizosalo, I wouldn't have thought that tzon's purpose is to tell me buying lamb with its skin. The im kain, if the whole purpose of tzon is to teach me the purchase of skin alone, skin meaning skin and not the shearings, of Rachmona Bokar, then the Torah would have written Bokar, that's beef that doesn't have shearings. If it would have written Bokar, then there would have been no room for making that mistake to think that you could buy shearings. The Memela Iser Lay Tzon. And by having taught Bokar, that would have certainly conveyed the idea of buying the meat together with its skin, making tzon superfluous. So, as we see in the Havamina, there was an attempt to show how Bokar may have in fact had a role, namely the role of Bokar was to get tzon to teach me that you can buy the shearings. But had that been the point, namely that by writing tzon alone, I would have thought that it represents the meat with its skin alone, that I never would have thought. If we take a look at Rashi, Dibur Maso de'im kain, de tzon lav lemishri gizas huda'asa, Ella or, had it been that tzon was not to tell me about the shearings, but to tell me only about the leather, the skin, lo havik siv kro tzon, the pasuk wouldn't have chosen tzon as its example for that purpose. Ella bokar, it would have chosen specifically bokar, the less lay gizos. It would have chosen bokar, that's beef that doesn't have wool, doesn't have shearings. Let us continue now with the Gemara, second to last narrow line, B V'mai komifliki Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish Rabbi Lozar v'hani tanoi delekamon. Now, we have a reference here to the names Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish Rabbi Lozar. So, for this, we take advantage of the arrow that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating to look at Omen Aleph. So, that is what we try to remind you earlier, that we will be coming back to those names. Now, we wrote in between the lines, just to help you recount what they had spoken about. Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish and Rabbi Lozar had spoken about using Kesef Meister Sheni for the purchase of brine. And there was a machlokis concerning brine. So that we can say Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish and Rabbi Lozar, they're matir, the purchase of actual fish, with Kesef Meister. And they argued, will we allow you to buy fish brine? Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish went so far as to say you can buy the brine. Rabbi Lozar says no. That is as far as those tanoim are concerned. Together, Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish and Rabbi Lozar represent an opinion that say you can buy fish. There are tanoim later on that are memayit fish, and certainly the tzir. They will not allow you to use Meiser Sheni money to buy fish, and certainly not fish brine. The topic heading on the side of the Gemara, which also has a structural note attached to it, featuring a diamond. So on the side, you can see, we have noted, Machloikis Tanoyim, Im Koinim Dogim, Bekesef Meiser Sheni. We will see a Machloikis Tanoyim, whether you can use Meiser Sheni money for the purchase of fish. Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish Rabbi Lozar equal Cain, that it's allowed. And Hani Tanoi, that the Gemara refers to, lo, that you cannot, according to the Maskona of the Gemara. So now the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish, we're on the first wide line of the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish Rabbi Lozar, Darshi, Ribui, Umiuti. They approach the Pasuk in the ribui mi'ut fashion, which results in allowing the purchase of fish with the Meiser Sheni money. And there are, needless to say, a number of different ways of approaching psukim in the Torah. And one of the major points of machlokis is regards, do I darshan psukim in a ribui mi'ut fashion or in a klal uprat fashion? In the context of Gemara markings Daf Yomi, we are not going to get into the details regarding these different approaches. What we are interested in is seeing the results of darshing the pasuk using these different methods. So when you use a ribui umiut drosha approach, you will end up including more things than you will if you use the klal uprat approach. In a loose translation form, the term ribui has to do with that which is included, and miut is that which is excluded. Klal uprat has to do with the klal is a general expression, prat is a detail or an example. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish Rabbi Lozar, they are featured in the diamond, and now we'll see how they analyze the psukim, the result being that they'll agree that you can buy fish. As far as why do they have an internal machlokas, that the Gemara will touch upon as we go on. They have an internal machlokas, Rabbi Lozar not allowing the purchase of brine, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish saying you can buy brine as well. What he says you cannot buy is the mayim umelach, the salt and the water. So let's see how they darshin. Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish Rabbi Lozar darshi ribui umiyuti. V'nosato hakesef v'chol asher ta v'nafshecha. By the way, of course, this pasuk we saw quoted earlier, Dvarim Perek Yudalet Pasuk Chav Vav. Now this is a ribui, an inclusive expression. It says you can use the meiser money, the kesef, the cash, b'chol asher ta v'nafshecha, riba. Means anything that you desire. Well, that's very inclusive. Then the pasuk goes on to say, "Babokur vatzon bayamur shechor." These are limitations. Mi'eit means they are exclusionary. And after you told me you could buy anything, then you said, well, no, only these things. So these will then exclude everything else. U'b'chol asher tishalcha nafshicha chozav riba. The pasuk then goes on to say, well, anything that your heart desires, that's coming to be inclusive of everything. What we now have is riba, umiye v'riba, riba hakol. When you have a setup of a pasuk like that, with this inclusive, exclusive, and then inclusive expression at the end, it comes to include everything. My Ravi, well, what are you including? Ravi, call me. In effect, all kinds of things. Well, umay miye, but after all, there is an exclusionary expression, so what does its presence accomplish? The Rebbe Lozer meets here. According to Rebbe Lozer, the presence of the exclusionary words, Boker Tzon Yam Shechar, will exclude brine. Rebbe Yehuda ben Godish, who allows the purchase of brine, Mi'eit Mayim Umelach, it will exclude water and salt. That is the only thing you can't buy with the Meiser Sheni money. Vehani Tanoi, the other Tanoim that we introduced earlier, those Tanoim that exclude fish, namely you cannot buy fish. Darshi Kloli Uproti. Their approach to the Pasuk is in the Klal Uprat fashion. Desanya Venosato Kesem Chosher Tavin Ashcho equals Klal. That's a Klal, as we said, a general rule, a general expression that you can use the Kesef for anything you desire. Baboku Batson Miyam Shechor Prat. Then the Pasuk lists off four Prat. Prat are details or examples. U'b'chol she tashal cho nafshecho, the Pasuk goes on to say anything you should desire. Chozar v'kolal. Then it gives you another general expression. What results? Klal prat uklal i'atodon elokeina prat. When you have this kind of setup, then in order to establish what in effect you're allowed to do, you focus on the examples and develop a rule. Ma haprat mefurosh pri v'gdule karka, just like the prat. Well, we look at the prat and you can see there's bokert son yayin v'shechar. They are pri mipri, in other words, they are products that result from something that it originally was a product. Rashi explains more clearly, pri mipri, egel, a calf, nolad meimo, is born from its mother, the cow. And once that cow, don't forget, was also a calf. V'chein se, likewise, a lamb is born from its mother. Vanovim mechartzanim, shizorin hachartzanim. Grapes, the yayin, the wine, which comes from grapes, comes from seeds. Now, the seeds themselves came from grapes. So that's pre-mi-pre. So that is what it characterizes the pasuk. It has to be what you are buying with your kesef maiser sheni is pre-mi-pre. What else? The gidule karka. What else can we say about the items in the pasuk? When we focus on the prat, they are gidule karka. What does that mean, the gidule karka? Karka is the ground. Gidule means they grow from the ground or they are sustained from the ground. Namely, obviously grapes grow from the ground, and sheep and beef and cows are sustained from that which grows from the ground. The Tanya Idoch, there's another Tanaic source that has a slightly different angle to the prat. Ma prat mefurosh, and that's why we have the triangle to highlight the two Tanaic sources on how to learn the prat. Ma prat mefurosh vlad vlados haaretz, afko vlad vlados haaretz. Rashi says vlad vlados haaretz shenivru min haaretz b'maisa breishis, things that were created from the ground at creation. My binayu, what is the difference between saying that my susheni money must be used to buy premi previ gidule karka versus something that you call vlad vlados haoretz? What's the difference? Omar Abaye. Now we have a bow tie marking, one over here and two on the next Omid of Gemara. And on the side we introduce this as Shnei Deos Mai Binayo. These are two opinions as to what the difference is between these two Tanaic sources. So Omar Abaye Dogimiko Binayo. Fish will be the point of difference. Laman Diomar Pri Mi Pri Vigidule Karka. One who says that Meiser Sheni money is used for that, for pre-pre-gdil karka, as is evidenced by the prat, the pratim in the pasuk, hani dogim gidule karka ninu. The fish are gidule karka. Now Rashi says gidule karka ninu kosovar shadogim nizoinim in akarka. The thought is that they derive their sustenance from the karka. Lamandom are vlad vlodosorets. The opinion, the second source that said that the Prat teaches me, Vlad Lanasar, something that was created from the ground. In Maisa Bracious, well, Dogim Mimaya Ivru, the Dogim were not created from the ground. The Dogim were created from the water. The Gemara asks, Miomar Abaye Dogim Gidule Karka Ninu? Does Abaye say that fish are classified as Gidule Karka, something that derives its sustenance from the ground? Would Abaye say that? And here we start a question that lasts a couple of lines. We have a long question marking. Ve'omar Abaye, but has not Abaye said, and we must continue on the top of Chof Ches Omer Aleph. Abaye has taught Ochal Putisa Loike Arba, Nemolo Loike Chomesh, Tzira Loike Shesh. One who eats these different forbidden creatures, a Putisa, which is a something called a sheretz hamayim. It's a an unkosher variety creature that grows in that lives in the water. He will be guilty of four sets of lashings. And Rashi goes through the psukim, a pasuk that's taught in a negative form, negative command. Each pasuk like that, one who violates it, is subject to a set of 39 lashes. So loke arba means he's subject to four sets of 39 lashes for eating a putisa. As we said, Rashi spells out the psukim. Nimola sometimes is translated as an ant. One who eats an ant would be guilty of loke chomesh. Tzira is a winged insect. Loke shesh. Ve'im isa, if it were so that fish, that let's say water creatures, are called gidule karka, if that were so, putisa nami lilki mishum sheretz hashoretz al horetz. There should be an additional, we should have account for additional lashings as would be included in Sheretz HaSheretz HaLaoretz. In other words, and here you have to see the Rashi and all of the quotes, for the Sheretz HaMayim, there are four negative commands. However, for that which is land-related, and if you say that water creatures derive their sustenance from the karka, that makes them also land-related, so there should be an extra set of lashings. As Rashi points out, the Sheretz Ha'oretz gets, there's an additional set of lashings for that. If we look at Rashi further down in the narrow lines, Ve'imi so the dogim gidule karkaninu, putisanami lilki mishum Sheretz Ha'oretz. There should be an additional set of lashings because of its additional classification. As we said earlier, the rule Abaye teaches is that water creatures are not associated with karka, and hence they get only four sets of lashes. But if you suggest, if Abaye is to suggest that dogim are classified as gidule karka, that would then make it such that the putisa should be chayav also for being a sheretz hashoretz ala oretz. Elo Omar Ravina. Oshvois Iko Binayu. The point of difference between
the two triangled sources at the bottom of Chof Zayin Amud Beis will be the purchase of fowl with Kesef Meiser Sheni.
And the Gemara spells out Lamadi Omar Pri Mipi Dudekaka, the number one source, the number one triangle at the bottom of Chof Zayin Amud Beis would tell me that Hani Nami Gidule Karka Ninu, birds are also classified as, not only are they pre-mipri, a bird comes from a mother bird, it also is something that derives its sustenance from the ground. Lamadi Omar Vlad Vlodosoretz, the one who says that the prat in the Meiser Sheni Posuk is to be understood as something created from the ground, Hani Oifis Min Rakak Nivru, they were created from Rakak. Now, Rakak could be translated possibly as mud, but it's not, we'll say it's not solid ground, but it's a mixture of water and dirt. Man demarbi oifois mai taime uman demimayet oifois mai taime. The Gemara now is focusing on these two shitos, trying to understand why did they conclude the way they did. Manda marbi oifos, the one who includes ofos, that was in fact the first triangle source, holds kosover klolo basra davka, that in the klal prat uklal setup, the main klal, the main general expression, is the latter one. That's dafka. Dafka means like it's the precise one, the exact one. Therefore, in your mind's eye, you would minimize, or I wouldn't say delete, but I'll say minimize the first klal. What type of structure do you have? You have a new structure. It's called prat uklal. Up till now, we discussed something called klal, prat uklal. Now we have, by having reduced the first klal, by saying that the ikr, the main klal, is the latter one, so you really have a structure called prat uklal. Nase klal moisif ala prat. When you have a structure like that of prat uklal, we know, according to the rules of posuk darshaning, we know that the klal becomes inclusive, adding additional, it adds onto the prat, it adds beyond the examples. Visrabalu called mili, and as a result of that inclusive nature, we end up including all kinds of things. Vahani klola kamo, the original klal that we said to minimize, now is brought into the picture, and it is effective somewhat. Vahani klola kamo limute kol deloi domi lei mishnei stodim. It will exclude items that don't have two elements in common with the examples. However, if something has two of what we'll later discover, two of three elements in common, because when you look at the examples, there are three elements. They are pre-mipri, they are gidulei karka, and they're vlad vlados haoretz. They all are something derived, pre, that's derived from pre, as we explained earlier. They are things that are sustained from the ground, and they're also things that were created from the ground. So the opinion that is willing to include ofos is saying that if the thing that we want to include has two things in common, even though it's not three, even though it's not totally in common, we can include it in that which you can buy with the Meiser Sheni money. So now what can we say about Oifois? We can say they have two things in common. They are pre-mipri, and they're also gilulei karka. True, they're not vlad vladosaurus, but that's okay, because this approach says emphasize the latter klal. And by saying that, we have a prat uklal structure, which allows you to include a lot. Continuing, Uma Dememayit Oifois, the approach that was taken by the second triangle that excluded Oifois, you cannot buy Oifois bird or fowl meat with Meiser Sheni money, Kosova Klola Kamo Davka. He says that when you approach a Klalu Pradu Klal Posuk, you emphasize the first Klal, the first general statement, and by doing that, and as we said earlier, in your mind's eye, you would just fade out the second klal. Then what are you left with? You're left with a klal uprat structure. And when you have that kind of structure, the rules says v'ein b'chal elamashe b'prat. There isn't included in the general other than that which is featured by the prat. And that you have only that which is stated by the examples. And what does that leave me with? Hani in, that's Boker Tson, Yayin and Shechor, yes. Midi Achrina, lo. But anything else, no. The Ahani Klola Basra, now we bring into the picture the second cloud, which we had faded out before. Now bring it in. It helps. It's effective. Lurbuye Kol de Domi Le Mishloishet Zbodin will include, as to what you can buy with the Meiser Sheni money beyond Boker Tzon, Yayin and Shecher, anything that's similar to them in all three aspects. Namely, it's got to be pre-mi-pri, it's got to be Gedulei Karka, and it also has to be Vlad Vlodos Haaretz. Well, that will exclude birds, because the birds are not Vlad Vlodos Haaretz, because of the fact that they were created not from the dirt, but rather from the rekak. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.